Father, as always, we thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And today, as we review the word of God, we looking for that light and that understanding. Let it shine in our hearts. Give revelation knowledge. Give us grace to understand what the Spirit is saying to the church in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Coming up soon, by the grace of God, I'm going to do a deep dive. I want to do a deep dive, so I want you to read ahead in the book of James. Was going to start that today, but I won't. I will start it on Thursday and go continuously after that. For the next couple of days, we'll bring some lessons on faith. And on Wednesday, we'll have someone else share with us the word. And on Thursday, I plan to start on that deep dive. If you want to read ahead, that'll be good. But today, I want to talk about champions of faith. And, you know, their trailblazing faith. And these, I call them trailblazers. I've talked on this before. But since we've been on the subject of believing the last few days, it's a good reminder to see how some of these people believed the Lord in the Bible. I mean, these people were no different than us, you know. They were men of like passion, men and women of like passion. But, you know, they had tremendous testimonies of, you know, things that they achieved, even against all odds sometimes. And in some cases, because, you know, as of their time, there had been no record of any other such action of faith or feat, if you may call it that. I call them trailblazers. They blazed the trail in the particular thing that they demonstrated their faith in. The book of Hebrews 11 captures what I call the, you know, heroes of faith. And right there is the Hall of Faith. Talks about so many different people who through faith sometimes subdued kingdoms. And, you know, they wrought righteousnesses. They did all kinds of things. Stopped the mouth of lions. Escaped the edge of the sword. Escaped, you know, even the fiery furnace. And so many things they did. Let's pick out through the Bible just a few of these folks. Some of the things they did. Now, faith is a subject that's near and dear to my heart. Also because it's near and dear to the Lord's heart. As the scripture says in faith, you know, Hebrews 11, that whole chapter devoted to faith in verse 6 talks about without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. I'm sure all of us want to please the Lord. And without faith, we're told that we can't do it. And Jesus himself in Luke 18:8 says, well, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? There's a lot of things he could have asked if he would find, you know, of faith is what he chose to ask about. Many times, you know, there's all kinds of faith demonstrated in the Bible. There's, you know, Jesus called out no faith, little faith, weak faith, great faith, tremendous faith. We even see commanding faith. We see relentless faith. We see all kinds of faith in the Bible. For the disciples, for the most part, Jesus rebuked them for either not having faith or having little faith. And he would say, oh, ye of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? And so on. But occasionally, he would see some tremendous faith that he really liked. He said, ah, great is thy faith, O woman, go thy way. That faith has made thee whole, or, you know, you receive whatever it is you believe in God for, and so on. So faith was a subject also dear to the Lord's heart. Always trying to get his disciples to believe. One time they said, why couldn't we cast him out? He said, well, because of your unbelief. So Jesus was always teaching faith, always. And so we love to teach faith as well. And no, there's no end to the subject of faith. You can teach it this way, come back and teach it that way. I mean, it's just no end to it. In Hebrews chapter 11, we begin to talk about the things that we understand by faith. And from verse 32, I want to just read a few things. What more shall I say? Here are some heroes of faith. The time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. And that's the one that, you know, I want to actually focus on. But, you know, they stopped the mouth of lions also. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. They turned to fly the armies of the aliens. I mean, some women actually received their dead raised to life again. Some others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, and even bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword, you know. They wandered in sheepskins, goatskins, and so forth. Destitute, afflicted, tormented sometimes. He says, well, the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, in caves. You know, I mean, look, these people, you know, they went through all kinds of things. And by their faith, you know, they overcame so much. And all of these, having obtained a good report through faith, each one of them obtained a good report through faith. Yet they received not the promise. There was some specific promise, you know, of entering into that final rest of peace, you know, a place of that they were looking for. Say they were sojourners. They look for a city whose builder and maker is God looking. And, but even though they didn't quite obtain, they saw the promises ahead of them, far off. They, you know, were persuaded of them, they embraced them, they continued to confess that, well, look, we're only strangers, we're going to a place. In their hearts, they had this promise. God had also provided some better thing for us, that those people, their stories would not be complete without us. So, which means this book of Heroes of Faith, chapter Hebrews 11, continues. Hebrews chapter 11 continues because their story was not made perfect. So it is still continuing and being written. Now, what is being written of you? How do you fit in and how do you stack up against some of these heroes of faith? I mean, if we see some of the things that these people went through, if we want to sit on the same table with them when they give their testimonies, how will your testimony hold up, you know, against theirs? So we want to be challenging ourselves to also become champions of faith wherever we are, you know, and God is writing up some other things which eventually will be revealed. You know, these are the ones we're reading now about these folks. Other things have been written. One saint speaking to another concerning the name of the Lord, concerning faith and things, encouraging one another, and the Lord writing it in a book of remembrance. He's writing it too. So, let's talk about, you know, trailblazers. And what does that really mean? You know, it means that they achieved something. They dared to believe God and obtained, you know, some remarkable success in the way that they overcame odds. They dared to believe God, you know, and maybe in some cases there was no precedence, you know, so they were the first in that particular area, at least as we read in the scriptures. So I call them trailblazers. And they had, you know, what I also call trailblazing faith. You know, whether they had heard of it before or not. Now, sometimes people tell you, well, I mean, whoever heard of such a thing? You know, that can't be done. You can't do that. That's never happened. You know, people oftentimes, you know, like to look at, well, I mean, history, you know, based on what things have happened before, you know, then they try to project what things might happen in the future. Well, I mean, faith is not subject to those boundaries. You know, even if you've never heard it done before, scripture says all things are possible to him that believe. And, you know, just because you haven't heard it doesn't mean it hasn't happened. Just means you haven't heard it. Might have well happened. Just means you may not have heard of it. I mean, you can't say, nobody can say that they have heard of everybody, everything that everybody ever did upon this earth. We talk about Enoch walking with God and God taking him and not translating. We don't know that Enoch is the only one that ever did that. That's all we read in the Bible. We don't know that Elijah is the only one that went in the chariots of fire. That's all you know from what you read in the Bible. You don't know that other people haven't done it. There is no evidence that it didn't happen. Well, we don't have evidence necessarily that it happened, but we don't also know that it did not happen. You know, so, you know, we cannot just think in the parameters of, you know, all we read in the Bible is all that ever happened. Well, that's all that was written. Enough of it was written for us to exercise our faith in. But look, if everything that God did would be written, there would be not enough any books in the world to contain them. You know, so, but these ones are written to the end that we should believe. And there are several that I want to look at today. You know, because my favorite character on this subject of trailblazers, and the first of whom is Enoch. So Enoch, you can read his story, and I want to read his story to you in Genesis chapter 5. And you know, we've talked about him all the time, walked with God. And even this, the title of this platform, patterned after Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Now, there were several generations of people, I mean, of the sons of Adam, you know, before Enoch. There were several of them. Enoch was not the first. As a matter of fact, he was like the seventh. You know, so, you know, after Cain had murdered his brother, those two were not even counted in the genealogy that would follow. But after that, you know, we see that Adam begat another one called Seth, you know, and these people used to live many, many years, hundreds of years, literally, in those days. You know, Seth himself, you know, lived many hundreds of years and begat Enos, you know, and Enos, you know, begat Canaan, and Canaan begat Mahalaleel, you know, and so forth. And Mahalaleel begat Jared. These are their generations. And Jared, you know, after a while, begat Enoch. So they see there were several generations before him. The Bible calls him the seventh generation. But here's, you know, all that we have written of Enoch. Not a whole lot, but we see something here, and then we see something about him in the book of Jude, and that's pretty much it in the Bible. Now, Enoch lived 65 years, Genesis 5:21, and he begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. So for his first 65 years, maybe he didn't figure out what this walking with God thing was. But, you know, after he got Methuselah, he figured it out somehow. and walked with God for 300 years. And during those 300 years, he begat sons and daughters. You know, and so there's a lesson there that, look, just because we're raising children, those of you who are raising children, you might be raising your young children, you might be a single parent, single dad or single mom, or, you know, or whatever, or maybe, you know, just the challenges of raising children, that should not prevent anybody from walking with God. Well, this man, he was having sons and daughters, but he walked with God the whole time, despite all the, you know, the challenges of raising children. And all his days were 365 years. Again, I was prophetic. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's all that was said about him, you know, until, you know, later we even found out in the book of Jude that Enoch gave a prophecy. It was like about Christ coming with 10,000s of his saints. But let's talk about this Enoch for a bit. You know, I call it the untold story in the book of Genesis. You know, the from Adam to Enoch, there's really an untold story there. Untold in the sense that it wasn't written, but it happened. You have to read between the lines. I mean, not everything that was that happened was written in the Bible. And even the Genesis account, not everything that happened is written. You know, some things are couched and some things we just summarized. You know, so, you know, the fact that these people were around Adam and they saw the cherubims with the flaming sword at the entrance of the garden and they couldn't go in. I mean, all those things had to have triggered questions, you know, in the heart of these people. We're not told what questions they asked, you know, but I'd like to believe that they did ask questions. You know, so when I look at this story, I have my own version of the untold story that's inside that chapter, those chapters of Genesis. And the way I like to put it forth is that, look, each one of these folks that we mentioned, up on from Adam to Enoch, they all heard the same stories, because I guarantee you, Adam told them those stories. They said, what's up with these, you know, what is up with these creatures that are here with this, I mean, with this flaming sword turning each way, and why can't, you know, what happened? So, and with those questions, Adam would probably have told some stories. The same story. Remember, the person who wrote this book was not even there. You know, his name was called Moses. It's a prophet. And in the prophet dimension, God can take you to the past and show you things happening in the present and even take you to the future. And in that prophetic dimension, God showed him some tremendous things. There were many times that Moses was away, you know, and God was showing him many things, you know, and he was writing these things, but he only wrote so much. So, what meaneth these, cherubims, you know, that are here with the, flaming sword? Well, and Adam would tell them the story. You know, but each one of those people that heard those stories before Enoch probably did not engage those stories in their spirit. They probably said, "Ah, that's a wonderful story," and they just moved on. It made no impact to them. That's the way I tell the story. It made no impact to them, and they just moved on. One man came along called Enoch, heard the same stories. This is why I call him a trailblazer, because there were people ahead of him that did not figure it out. And he was the one to figure out how to walk with God and to not die. You know, because, you know, Adam told them the stories. You know, God told us certain things. Unfortunately, we didn't keep his word, drove us out of the garden. And he told us that we would die. And now we're just waiting to die. We're waiting to die. Nobody really knew the meaning of dying. But, you know, sometimes they just knew that, well, it's something that God said. You know, we would die. And they figured it out that, well, it means we will stop living somehow. They didn't fully understand it. And they said, well, but Enoch, in his own case, like, what do you mean we're going to die? But you are not dead yet. Yeah, but he said we will die. So what are we doing now? We're just waiting around to die? So, well, yeah, you know, well, I need to go in there and check things out. I said, son, you cannot go in there. You know, it's all locked up. I mean, tell me some more about the things that happened there. And Adam would tell him. And he said, you mean you had all that power? I mean, you could talk to animals. They listened to you. You could even go under the sea or do whatever. I mean, you gave them names. You had all this power. God was always visiting with you. He said, yeah. So what happened? I told you already. So tell me more. You know, and so I got some curiosity sparked in this man. And he said, look, you know, you mean all we're going to do now is just sit around and die? See, well, God said we would die, so we're waiting to die. Well, did you even ask God for his forgiveness when this happened? He said, well, son, his voice was very stern. And the way he looked at us, I mean, we couldn't even ask anything. We were scared. He said, well, you should have asked. You know, and said, well, right now it's too late. You know, we're just waiting to die. The sentence was passed on us and things have become hard since he told us that, you know, we're going to toil. And so, you know, this is it. You know, we're just going to have to deal with the consequences. You know, say, well, you know, I need to figure this out myself. Says, well, I told you, you can't go in there. Well, if I can't go in there, I'm going to find a way that whatever was in there, it's coming out to me if I can't go in there. I mean, it's something that sparked in this man. And he began to say, look, I'm going to figure this out myself. And so he embarked on a journey of trying to figure it out himself. And lo and behold, the next thing you know, he did actually figure it out. He figured out how to walk with God. Scripture says, can to walk with God except they be agreed? Is it possible? Well, yeah. This man figured out that you can't walk with God except you are agreed with God. You can read that in Amos chapter 3, verse 3. And Adam did not quite agree with God, so God kicked him out. So he said, well, I need to align myself with God, you know, and so that I can walk with him. And he began to walk with God every day. Begin to draw closer. I need to get closer and closer. And you know, Enoch probably didn't know everything at first, but he was being transformed from glory to glory. Remember how that God said in the scripture says in 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Well, Adam and Eve at one point were light too, and there was no darkness in them at all. But the fall brought in the darkness and brought all this evil and sin and so forth and the corruption into the glory of God that was upon them. And so the light that was becoming so distant now, at one time they were in union with the light, but now they're separated because there is no darkness in God. And so they're now far. Think of the spectrum. Far here on the left, there is darkness and death and sin. And over here on the far right, there is light, life, and you know, the very nature of God. And there is a great distance in between. And these people are coming in on this left side. You know, their task is to move toward the light and approach onto. But they're saying, well, we can't approach onto it. I mean, nobody can approach onto it because we are sinners. You know, and so they just continued on in their ways. But this other man came, called Enoch, and said, we can approach onto that light. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to find a way, one way or another, to approach onto that light. And the more he tried to figure it out and was walking with God, God was renewing him, changing him from glory to glory. Hallelujah. We are changed from glory to glory. Now, the scripture would tell us later on that the Spirit of the Lord is what changes us from glory to glory. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. You know, they had lost the glory. So now all they could see is afar off, you know, and but they couldn't get there. It was like a mirage. I mean, the closer they, try to get to it, it looks like it's still farther away. They just couldn't get there because of the sin nature that was upon them now. But this man said, well, I'm going to get to it. And, you know, something was happening to all of these people. Life was imputed into Adam at the beginning. And if they had stayed with the word of God, they would never have died. They would have eventually figured out how to eat the tree of life. You know, so they would have had this, they would have lived forever. You know, but you know the rest of the story. And the moment that the glory of God departed from them, it's called Ichabod. The glory of God has departed. The moment the glory of God departed from them, they started to go kind of backwards, you know, and it was like darkness was encroaching upon them. The light was seeping out of them gradually, and darkness was taking over, and death coming in, you know, and they could not outpace the rate of darkness that was creeping on them. They could not outpace it, you know, and this darkness was going to take over their lives. I mean, all kinds of evil started happening in their minds. But one man figured out how to outpace the rate of death and darkness that was creeping into their generations. He was going to outpace it, you know, by walking with God. And as he was being transformed from glory to glory, as he was getting toward closer to that light, or being changed from glory to glory, from glory to glory. Just think about it. The more he sought God, the more revelation came to him, the more understanding. All the others were doing whatever they were doing in their own ways. They didn't, couldn't care less. But this man pursued after God. And God began to show him tremendous things. You know, by the time he gave, you know, prophecy that was written of him, God was showing him things way advanced into the future. You know, he knew many things that there was no way he could have known those things. I mean, there's absolutely no way that Enoch, according to Jude, verse 14, could have prophesied and said, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. I mean, how many people were upon the face of the earth at the time of Enoch? They were not even up to 100, hardly, you know. Yet, he was prophesying about the Christ coming with 10,000 of his saints, you know, because, you know, as the closer he got into that light, the more the Lord showed him things. And he figured out some things which nobody else. I mean, he knew about the ungodliness that was going to happen, knew about the judgment that was coming, knew about Christ would return with 10,000 of his saints. Where is Christ going to get the 10,000 saints from? He knew all these things. And his life was being transformed from glory to glory. It was a trailblazer indeed. Finally, one day, I mean, it's like, look, there is this incredible source of light is like a vortex. I mean, it's pulling you in. If you can dare to believe, you know, and, you know, there's a force pulling you behind, and darkness is pulling you, and you are trying to get through it, you know, and this man's getting closer and closer. And one day, he was completely changed into light. And that's it. And I guarantee you, if anyone can approach onto that light, which people say, oh, we can't approach onto, and you can be transformed from glory to glory until the day that you're completely light, and there's no more darkness, you'll be gone too. It's like this incredible magnet. It's a light, the source of everything, and pulling you in, but sin's pulling you on this other way. You know, the things of the world are pulling us on this other way. You know, sin consciousness pulling us, need consciousness pulling us, self-righteousness pulling us, all these other things are pulling us. But if you can keep pushing, pushing, pushing forward and being transformed, the day that you are fully transformed, Bible calls it, we shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Well, that's a group transformation. But I guarantee you, you know, there might have been people like Enoch. We only know of Enoch, but who's to tell that there were no other persons that have been transformed fully into light? We know of Enoch. We know of Elijah. There were different kinds of people. I mean, Elijah was a man that loved to make an entrance and different things, you know. And so, you know, his own was chariots of fire and different things. But Enoch was kind of silent, you know, but he achieved it. He achieved something that even Elijah could not achieve, even though he didn't seem like, you know, I mean, Elijah seemed like he was the one with the blazing light and fire and thunders and all these things. But Elijah would eventually die. Enoch was the one man that we are told in the scriptures that God took him, that he would not see death. Until this day, he would not see death. Elijah will eventually come back and die in the great tribulation, but as one of the two witnesses. But we know this man, Enoch, God left him as a witness there that it's, this is possible. So Enoch was our number one trailblazer. And my goodness, you know, I can't wait on to meet him and ask him a few questions. How in the world did you figure out? I mean, when everybody was just waiting around to die, how was it possible that you figured out that there were, it was possible to not die? God already said they're going to die. How did you figure that out? Well, that's a trailblazer. A trailblazer is someone who goes against, you know, the mainstream. That's right. Mainstream theology at the time was that we are all waiting to die. That's mainstream theology. You know, so everybody's going to die. But this man went up against the mainstream. Until this day, he's not dead. That's my number one trailblazer. And his trailblazing faith was in the midst of a generation of people ahead of him that did not quite comprehend anything. But he didn't live his life according to the pattern of the way others did. He sought the Lord, and he didn't allow wife or children or anything to be an obstacle either. He sought the Lord, and God rewarded him. We're told that, you know, God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Well, nobody was any more diligent, you know, than this Enoch in going against the mainstream like that. Now, to close up the story about Enoch, let's read how Hebrews chapter 11 reported his story. It was very brief, just a couple of verses, but let's see what it said. By faith, Hebrews 11 and 5, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now that's his testimony right there. He would never see death. you know, and he was not found because God had translated him. Just imagine, you know, the day he went, he was also, this guy was always going some places, you know, have time with God and so on. And, you know, he was literally walking with God. It was a figurative form of speech, but it was also literally walking with God. You know, there are times he would probably go out, just walk with God, talk with God, do things. One day he went and never came back. And they searched everywhere. I mean, you can imagine wife and children and, you know, people around him and so forth. So what happened? They looked everywhere. He was not found, means they were looking for him. I mean, they looked for him everywhere. And he was gone. Well, there are people that will be gone sometime again, and people will look for them. They'll be gone. You know, Jesus said, well, you know, two people might even be sleeping on the bed, and one of them will be gone. The other would wake up, look all over for him, they're gone. And two women might be grinding at the mill, they're both walking in the kitchen, and suddenly one of them is gone. Two people might be together in the field, and suddenly one is gone. You look everywhere, and they're gone. And it's like, they were here just a minute ago. What happened? You know, and of course, the government of America, you know, and some of these wicked nations will try to explain it away. Well, but some people will remember. And, you know, I pray that we will not be among the ones that will remember, that will actually be a part of the ones that are being searched for. Because, you know, the worst thing that can happen to anybody is to find out that the believers have gone and they are left behind. And they often once, you know, followed with the believers. Maybe you often once went to church with them. Maybe you heard about these things. Maybe they were once believers, or they even thought they were believers. They thought they were disciples, or thought whatever they thought. Maybe Christians. Maybe yes, let's use that term, but that's a term that's more loosely used these days. People talk about Christians. You know, what is a Christian? People label themselves Christians these days. You know, contrary to how Christians were used in the Book of Acts. In the Book of Acts, they actually, it was like a mockery, you know, name that they gave to people because they acted like Christ. So they were first called Christians there, you know, because, you know, these people, you know, acted like Christ. And then, you know, they just labeled them like that. But we call ourselves Christians. Many people call themselves Christians today. And it's like, what does it really mean? Well, it'll be the saddest day when somebody will say, wow, this is probably that thing that we've been hearing, because it will be all over the news. Millions disappear. You know, but they will try to explain it away. You can't say that, you know, some alien ship came and sucked them away. I mean, people will try to explain it. Can you imagine what might happen if, you know, some pilot got sucked away, if some, you know, driver of, you know, a bus got sucked away? I use the word sucked away, but that's what they will say. Well, there might be a lot of calamities, accidents, and various things. Because all of a sudden, the person driving is gone. The person flying the plane is gone. You know, then what will happen? You know, so at some point, this will also happen. Now, there's a lot of people today that don't believe that anymore. I mean, just like Adam. Well, we're just waiting around to die. You know? Everybody say, well, we're waiting around to die. Disappointed unto man wants to die. You know, that's what everybody's talking about now. That's mainstream Christianity today. You know, everybody waiting around to die. There was one man that said, well, we'll see about that. And he figured out a way, you know, against all of that theology of his day. And so that's his testimony. Translated that he should not see death, and he was not found. They searched everywhere for him. He was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, see, there was a good argument here. had testimony that he pleased God. That's why I was able to walk with God. But without faith, it is impossible. Now, that's impossible without faith to please God. So that's why it's good to examine the lives of those who were told pleased God. You know, that's why I love to always talk about, you know, because he pleased God. But that without faith, it's not possible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is and that he's a rewarder. Now, Enoch knew this too. You know, that, you know, I am going to seek the Lord and I'm going to find him. And nothing is going to discourage him. And keep pressing toward that light. Keep pressing toward that light. Eventually, he outran the rate of the spirit of death and darkness. And moving faster toward that light than death was trying to catch up with him. Death caught up with every one, last one of them. None of them could live up to 1,000 years. But the Lord said, in the day that you do, you will die. Well, they did die. You know, but, you know, the life that was in them from the glory of God took hundreds of years for the thing to finally fizzle out. But also a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And so they never crossed that day. And the intent in that one day of 1,000 years, if Adam had stayed with the word, he should have brought everything into alignment. Everything. The earth that God was trying to colonize. He would have done it. But he didn't do it. But Enoch escaped and he did not see death. Well, there are some people that will also leave the earth without seeing death at this end of time. And I believe that I will be part of them. Are you going to be part of them? Are we walking towards being part of them? Or are we just sitting around saying, well, it is appointed unto men once to die? You know, and when you talk about people can actually leave the earth these days without seeing death. It's so hard. Mainstream Christianity today doesn't believe that. They say you live long enough, you will have to die. You know, so, but, you know, death, physical death is not, repeat, ladies and gentlemen, physical death is not the only way to leave this earth. We've seen it in the Bible. Enoch did not physically die. Elijah did not physically die. You know, so there you have it. If thou canst only believe, hallelujah, all things are possible. We can't believe for it if God didn't say it, but God did say it. He said that, you know, he did say it. He said, look, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Hallelujah. So we shall not all sleep and we shall not all die. And those who are waiting to die, fine, keep on waiting to die. You know, Enoch said, well, you guys wait to die, but I'm going to figure something out. And he did. So we shall not all die. You know, does it mean we're afraid of death? Absolutely not. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. You know, like, you know, to die, you know, I leave this body. I'm in the presence of the Lord. But I take advantage of his promises. And God said it. I believe it. I walk in it. You know, God said, well, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So in the last days, while we're waiting for the coming of the Lord, we're not just waiting around to die and say, well, when I die, I'm going to come out of that grave. Yes, you will come out of that grave if you died in the Lord. And everyone that died in the Lord are coming out of that grave. The grave cannot hold them. There's coming a time, Jesus said, the hour is coming. All that are in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of Man. And some will rise to resurrection of life, others to condemnation. You know, but Jesus promised that I will lose none of my own that the Father has given me, but I will raise them up at the last day. So, ladies and gentlemen, even if they die by way of physical death, they are coming out of that grave if they had believed on the Lord. That's right. There is nothing can change that word. I will lose none of them, but I will raise them up at the last day. Well, can raise you physically from the grave, can also raise you physically from the earth. To meet those who are coming out of the grave, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Either way, he will raise you up. Praise God. Well, you know, if we believe and we are still living, well, why not? We can see the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is the blessed hope that the whole world is waiting for. And this is the hope that we have to see him. Even as he is to come in the glorious appearing. Well, Enoch is enjoying that now. Praise God. You know, where is Enoch today? That's another deep subject that I can get into, but not today. Where are those who died in the Lord, who were, their bodies were physically buried? Where are they? Are they in the same place? Where are those who have died since the earth began? And some of them were ordained to life. And Jesus went and preached to some of them. The Bible says, oh, he went and preached to all the souls that were in prison. You know, and since the time of even the flood, and so on and so forth. Well, that was Enoch for you. He beat the mainstream theology, and he was translated. Wow. I mean, I can say more and more and more and more about this Enoch. But let me move on. I will do two more trailblazers today, and we'll continue the rest tomorrow by the grace of God. Fascinating story, this Enoch. You know, but let's leave his story there. And let's move on to others. There was also a man in the Bible called Moses. And a lot of people know a lot of things about Moses. Some of the things we don't know are some things I've said about him today. How that Moses could figure out all the things that happened during the creation. Was he there? He was not. The prophetic zone that he was in could not only cross veils of time piercing into the future, he went backwards in time. Glory to God. That's a real prophet. You know, God can take them and show them things. You know, it's not just coming out and saying, thus saith the Lord. You know, he went out, he saw incredible things. He wrote this thing. Was he there? Was not there. Wasn't, you know, nowhere to be, it wasn't even close to being born. But yet God showed him these things. He wrote these things and it was perfect. Because God showed it to him. My goodness. You talk about being a trailblazer. You know, and, you know, even when some of the things that he did physically, apart from all these revelations of how God, you know, created the earth and all the things that he wrote before his own time, you know, and maybe one day he was sitting down, the angel of the Lord was telling him, say, take up your pen and write. And then he would just be writing. And think about it. I mean, how did he know those things? Well, these are trailblazers. And, you know, God handpicked these people, you know, for whatever reasons, best known to him. But this man also, he did tremendous things upon the face of the earth. When he went up against Pharaoh, I mean, there was no warrior like Pharaoh. Conquered all the kingdoms of the world. But Moses went up against him with just a rod in his hand. And all the things that he did, my goodness. I mean, the plagues that Moses called out in the land of Egypt, my goodness. Nobody ever heard of such a thing. And then the singular, most spectacular miracle in that Old Testament was the parting of the Red Sea. I mean, a physical miracle, you know, that Moses did. You know, by the hand of the Lord that was upon him. And nobody ever seen any such thing. How in the world? I mean, can you stand there? I mean, take a rod, stretch it over the Red Sea and cause the whole thing to pile up on one side and pile up on the other side, the dry land appear. Well, Moses had seen that before. You say Moses had seen it before? Why? Absolutely. You know, because he was, you know, a trailblazer, even in knowing the things that God did. How did he see it before? Well, let me read it to you. You know, Moses was the one in Genesis chapter 1, verse 9, that wrote, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place and let the dry land appear. Moses had seen this thing before. He saw it, how God, you know, spoke. And all the waters began to move to one side. Move to this way, move to that way. He saw it. God showed it to him. And he wrote it down in the book of Genesis 1 and 9. And so, yeah, you know, maybe the Lord reminded him, a flashback in his mind, when he stood in front of that Red Sea. And he remembered, I remember how God spoke, let the dry land appear, let the waters be gathered together on either side. He remembered it too. I guarantee you he did. And in a moment, in a flash, and you know, God, when you are in the prophetic zone, a moment of time can be years. I mean, God can just flash something in your mind. And, you know, maybe he had a flashback. He saw, you know, how God did it in the beginning. He saw how those waters piled up on either side. And he said, well, you know, straightforward. He said, the Lord told you to do it. He said, yeah, I know you can do it. I've seen it before. Stretch forth his hand over that Red Sea. The next thing you know, just like it was in Genesis, this thing began to roll back, tied up on either side. The dry land would appear once again. Wow. I said, wow. Yeah, I've seen that before. But it was a trailblazer. No one ever did any such thing. No such thing had ever happened. And he did incredible things, signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, which God did by the mouth and the hand of Moses. And of course, it's Aaron, his brother, being by him. And how they went up against the most powerful army, in, you know, on the face of the earth at that time, and destroyed, the, you know, many, many signs and plagues in the land of Egypt. And finally, you know, destroyed. Oh, I know it was God doing it, but Moses was right in the center of it. Moses was the one that kept telling the people, go forward, because he was always reporting what God said to him. God said, say to them, go forward. And Moses would say to them, go forward. You know, and they say, go forward to where? There's a Red Sea in front of us. Where are we going? But the Lord showed him how the waters were parted at one time. Saw how the Lord said, let the waters be gathered together in one place and let the dry land appear. And Moses knew in his heart the Lord could do it. Stretch forth his hand, and the next thing you know, the waters were gathered together in that place. My goodness. And the Lord sent like an east wind all night long, rolling those things. I mean, they were like, I don't know how many feet high those waters were. Formed a wall on either side unto them. You know, and the thing kept spinning like that. And it just like that, just kept spinning. And the wind of the Lord, the wind of his spirit kept them at bay, and the dry land appeared. And Moses said, it's time to step through. Everybody was scared. Nobody wanted to get into that water. I mean, it's like, look, this thing could come crashing down on us any moment. And then, you know, Miriam was there, and Aaron tried to urge the people on, say, look, God has spoken by the mouth or the hand of Moses. Believe. Let's go forward. And Moses said, look, let's go forward. Miriam would tell the people, well, Moses said, let's go forward. And then, you know, a few people would tell others, well, let's go forward. Some people say, no, let's go backwards to Egypt. We're going to die. But eventually, well, the voice of faith prevailed. Got them forward. And the whole time, see, Moses had to stand there. Believe in God. You know, he had to believe God the whole time that the waters will hold. Because if the waters didn't hold, come crashing down on them, all these millions of people brought out of Egypt will perish. He believed God, and he stood right there until all of them passed through that whole night. Meanwhile, the Lord kept the Egyptians at bay by the pillar of fire. No, those chariots, they can't go through that fire. They're trying to drive them hard. You know, they wouldn't go. You can't. They're not going through that fire. You know, so I said, well, fine. You know, so, you know, he kept his mind, you know, his mind kept boiling as Pharaoh. And so finally, after the children of Israel had passed through, the Lord will sucker them in. The Lord took away the chariot, pillar of fire and so forth. And the chariots drove forward. And Pharaoh said, yeah, I will consume. He will consume nothing. And the Lord just drew them in like that, you know, and waited until they were right in the middle of the Red Sea. There was not enough time for them to get across. There was not enough time to get back. They were right in the middle. And the Lord said to Moses again, now stretch forth your hand over that place. And the waters came crashing down. And Miriam and the rest of them took up a song later on and said, the chariots, the horseman, the rider, and all of these had got overthrown in the sea. Of course, Moses told them, you know, before it even happened, said, look, those Egyptians you see today, this is the last time that you're going to see them. And of course, you know, everybody was doubtful, but Moses stood right there with the word of God. And he did something that nobody else has ever done. Well, somebody came close to that. You know, Joshua came close to it. And he parted the River Jordan because he had seen it with Moses. See, these people, they see something. Moses saw it with the Lord in Genesis. God showed it to him and he did it. Joshua saw it with Moses. He said, well, you know, and he took, you know, and he just, you know, took the mantle and they did something. Elijah, all these people, they saw it. You know, these people that came out with the ark, when their feet touched the River Jordan, it parted. Well, Elijah parted the water at one time. Elisha saw it, took the mantle and smote the thing and parted it. And people, they've seen it before and they know it can happen and they do it. But they were not trailblazers. Every one of them that did it after Moses, well, they've seen it before. Joshua commanded the priest that as soon as your feet get into the water, the waters will be cut off on either side. He had seen it before. Elijah also, you know, he's heard about it. And Elisha, he had seen it with Elijah. But, you know, as far as we were concerned, Moses had never seen it with anybody. He only saw it with the Lord. And so he was a trailblazer, and he did incredible things. The last of the trailblazers I want to talk about today, I've got plenty more to talk about. We'll leave that till tomorrow. The last of the trailblazers. And why are we talking about this, actually? Well, these people are men or were men of like passion. If they dare to believe God like this, you can dare to believe God too. Even though people say, well, that can't be done. That's never been done before. So what? You know, for one thing, you don't know that it has not been done before. Might have been. And even if it wasn't ever done before, what difference does that make? Why can't you be the first to do it? Praise the Lord. That's the kind of trailblazing faith that the sons of God need to exhibit at the end of the age. When we're right there, this is it. We are the ones upon whom the ends of the world have now come. We're right here. And so Joshua was another man. You can read the story of Moses. Let me give you a reference for that. Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 to 22. The story I just told is right there. You know. But what about Joshua? Joshua will be the last one I'll talk about today. That's others I'll talk about tomorrow. Joshua. Now, this Joshua man, quite unlike Moses, you know, he loved to fight. You know, I mean, Joshua's own is sword. Moses was the rod. Joshua was the sword. You know, Moses had the pillar of fire. I mean, as far as Joshua is concerned, you stand in front of me, you know, we're going to engage. I don't care who you are. Let me know your intentions. One time he saw a man with a drawn sword. He said, look, are you for us or against us? You know, let's go right now. The man said, no. I am the captain of the Lord's hosts. And Joshua said, oh, my goodness. But he was ready to fight, always ready to fight. And this man, one time he was fighting, and, you know, he was a man of war, you know, and you know, when they were in Israel, one thing that you should realize is, I mean, when they were in Egypt, I meant to say, and children of Israel were in Egypt, their captors, the Egyptians, they tormented them, their taskmasters, they tormented them, bullied them, beat them up, raped their women in front of them, did all kinds of things. They could not even fight back. They could not defend themselves because they were slaves. If they said a single word, they beat them even more. You know, and they put them to heavier tasks and different things. And so, you know, Moses, you know, when he was bringing them out, had to teach them how to defend themselves. So all this business of an eye for an eye, that was Moses trying to teach these people that, look, you are no longer slaves. Don't let anybody slap you around anymore. They slap you, you slap them right back. You got to fight for yourself. Because he had to teach them how to take up arms because they didn't know how to do it. You know, they used to just beat them up, bully them, do anything to them, and they just go around like that, you know. And then Moses said, no, this time around, enemies that come up against you, you know, you fight. And Joshua, he heard those things. He said, well, yeah, he said, I thought you'd never ask. Because there was something inside of Joshua all the time. He was just waiting for Moses to command this kind of thing. You know, and the moment Moses said, he said, I thought you'd never ask. And he was ready to go. And so this Joshua man, he was the man that Moses said, look, you will be the one to take them in. And say, well, you got it. I'm ready. And God, he knows how to pick them. God knows how to pick them, ladies and gentlemen. When he picks, he knows who he's picking. You know. Some of the people that he picked, they would say, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. Moses said that. Joshua, he was ready to go. You know, he never said, I'm not going to do it. The Lord told him, look, be of good courage. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. And he said, well, yeah, Lord, yeah, let's do it. Let's do this. And so when he went, there's a story in Joshua chapter 10. You know, and he went. And they were fighting multiple battles and trying to get the, you know, different, capture different places and so on, you know. And there was this story. I'm going to just read it to you from the book of Joshua chapter 10. You know, so Joshua, let's read from verse 7, ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him. He was a man of war. And all the mighty men of valor, they were always around him. That was his own MO. He didn't, you know, mess around with anybody. You mess with Joshua, he's ready to fight. And the Lord said unto Joshua, don't fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. So, you know, and Joshua was encouraged. He therefore came upon them suddenly and went off from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, slew of them a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way and so on. You know, and Beth Horon, and they fled from Azekah, and also Makkedah. And it came to pass as they fled before Israel, and going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones, you know, God was even helping them, hailstones and so forth, against their enemies. You know, but it turned out that the sun was going down, and they couldn't see very clearly. You know, it was getting dark and the battle was still, you know, engaging. And so this man, Joshua, is going to do something that nobody ever done. He come out there and said, Joshua spake to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of all Israel, he didn't say it in a corner. I mean, these are people that dare to believe God. Now, he's going to do something that nobody ever done. And he's not going to hide and try it first in secret to see if it works. He's going to stand right out here in the presence of everybody and try to command the sun and the moon. Now, that's some faith, you know. That is some faith. And he spoke. And listen, Joshua also understood, you know, how ordinances of heaven works. You know, and in his mind, you know, then one time the Lord said in Isaiah 45 and 11, you know, ask me of things to come. Joshua didn't have that, but it was in his mind. Ask me of things to come concerning the works of my hands. Command ye me. He knew he could do it. You know, and so he spoke to the Lord, we're told, but it was actually the sun and the moon that he spoke to. And he said, "Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon." He said in the sight of all Israel. Everybody was looking at him. "This man, you're going to command the sun and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. You're going to command the moon now?" Yeah. And the sun obeyed him. Wow. You know, he said, "Well, I need more sunlight. You know, if this sun goes down, we won't be able to see. We need to finish this battle today, not tomorrow. Got to finish this thing. So I need a few more hours of daylight. And so you, sun, stand right there. And you, moon, stay right over there. No coming yet. Let the sun stand there. You can come." My goodness. You talk about faith. I can even, you know, change, you know, God's ordinances. You know, and put out there, let there be signs, you know, let there be for signs, for seasons and so forth. Genesis 1:14 created a great light called the sun, created a lesser light called the moon. You know, and God put those ordinances out there. And this man come in there and he can command these things. Now, you're not going to go in orbit. Stay right there. I need some more time. And he did it too. And my goodness, the Bible said, look, is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day, not a whole day exactly, but close to it. And it's been proven in science. And there was not any day like that before or after. That's a trailblazer. It's right there. Never happened. You know, that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man. The voice of a man changed the ordinances of sun doing its thing and the moon doing its thing. Joshua said, "No, not today. I need a few more hours. And, you know, you stay there until I finish this fight." And you talk about trailblazing faith. That was a trailblazer. And when I read those stories, it challenged my faith. I said, well, you know, what is it that I'm believing God for? I mean, no, I mean, have I ever believed to the stopping of sun or moon? Maybe I come close in the rain and stuff like that. But I mean, there's things, if you can believe God and if God calls for it, well, all things are possible. So these are trailblazers. I'm going to leave that there for today. Tomorrow we'll continue. I have a few more trailblazers to talk about, several of them actually. And the lessons that we're trying to bring out here were that these were people that dared to believe God. Sometimes they will go against mainstream theology. Sometimes they will go against even nature. Didn't matter. You know, and they would just believe God and they can reverse the course of nature. They can make the Red Sea to part. They can make the sun and moon to stand still. I mean, they can do all these things. They were trailblazers. Nothing anybody else ever done, but that didn't bother them one bit. They believed God, they looked unto God, and they believed the Lord spoke the word of God, did something that caused something to change. Until this day, it's recorded in the books. Hallelujah. So, science has actually proven that a day has been missing, you know, in time. And Joshua contributed to some of it. Hezekiah contributed to some of it by his faith of 15 degrees, the sun going backwards. The almost a whole day in Joshua plus the little bit of Hezekiah is resulted in a whole day that science has found. It was gone somehow. They couldn't trace it. Well, it's in the Bible. And what can your faith do today? Ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. These are people who believed God. There are more stories in the book of Hebrews 11, but I chose to pick these ones out from different parts of the Bible to see the things that they did. And each of the times that they did these incredible things, which people thought could not happen, well, that makes them trailblazers. And I call them trailblazers with their trailblazing faith. You know, they are champions of faith that did things that nobody ever did. Sometimes the Bible even says not before and not even after them, just like we saw in the case of Joshua here. But the Lord gave us these examples for us to know that, yeah, we can. Yes, you too. When God was asking Job all those questions, well, some of those answers could have been yes. When the Lord asked Job, do you understand the ordinances of heaven? You know, can you set their dominion upon the earth? Job could have said yes, you know, because look, you can do it. Joshua did it, you know. I mean, changed, you know, these things by his faith. But the Lord shows us now that these things can happen by our faith. Now, seeing that we're surrounded by all these cloud of witnesses, well, let it encourage our hearts today that the things that we are going through also, you know, it may be a mountain that you think cannot be moved. Well, it can be moved. You know, maybe a situation that you think, well, you know, I can't get out of it. You can get out of it. You know, it could be anything, you know, that you're going through. Let's challenge ourselves by the faith of these people that did the impossible, you know, impossible. Everybody who once said we're going to die, this man said no. And God honored his faith. And so on and so forth. And we see these things in the Bible. Let's believe God. Now, do you believe our God of miracles? Can you believe that with you can be found also this kind of faith? Whereas everybody else says it's not possible, you say, yes, it is possible. Hallelujah. And it's always possible. All things are possible, Jesus said to him that believes. Now, that's all things, not some things. Now, it's possible. It doesn't mean that, you know, it'll happen, but it's possible. You know, so it won't happen if we don't have faith. But Jesus said it's possible. Mark 9:23 says, you know, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. All things. So let's believe God today. I'm going to pray over the room. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these examples. The scripture says that these examples, these things that are in the scriptures are written for our examples. I thank you, Lord, for these examples that we've seen in scripture. People that stood bold in their faith. They had the kind of faith that was bold, and unshakable, and unmovable. They accomplished things which were thought could not happen. And Lord, we believe that God is not a respecter of persons. And today, Lord, we pray that our hearts will be energized, our minds will be energized, our spirits will be inspired to believe God the same. These people are men of like passion, like us, and they believe God, and they did these great things. And Lord, help every one of us in this room to be encouraged today that, look, you know, what is the Red Sea that we are facing? Your Red Sea moment. What are you going to do in those Red Sea moments? For yourself. What are you going to do? You know, when the clouds are coming in, what are you going to do when the darkness is coming? You know, can you speak to the sun? And can you speak to the moon? What are you going to do when everybody else says, well, you know, these people were, they went through these illnesses and they died. What makes you think you will survive? You know, Enoch was a man that went up against stuff like that. Everybody died, but he believed God. And we can believe God today. I pray that the Lord grant us the grace to believe, even as he is the one that grants anything unto us. Grant us the grace to believe, even in our time. And let these stories be an encouragement to us, that indeed all things are possible to him that believes. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.